Praise him in the pit, in the den. Praise him with your horns. Can we hear your horns? Amen. I don't know about you, but my God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. He's worthy of the honor. He is worthy of the glory. Amen. Our hearts are overwhelmed this morning. Amen. Just how God just continues to bless us. Amen. Even when you see what he continues to do in the lives of our young people. Amen. I don't know about you, but Corona can't stop that. Amen. Amen. The oppression in our communities, racism, institutional racism, can't stop that. Amen. Amen. Because my Bible says that no weapon formed against his children, amen, shall ever prosper. Amen. And we just thank God for who he is. Amen. And all that he's doing. Amen. Let's honor our young people one last time. Amen. With their hands, with their hands. Amen. Just trying to get myself together up here real quick. We also understand that Mother Newman is with us this morning. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Even for her. Amen. Even the passing of her brother on this week. We just work to continue to pray for her and the Newman family. Amen. Just giving honor to God, to everybody, in the building. Amen. To everybody. Amen. In the house, we are still the household of believers, even though we're worshiping outside. Amen. To Pastor Wright. Amen. To Minister Tolbert. To all the deacons. To everybody here. We're going to get right. We're going to get right into the word. Amen. It's already hot, but we want to get in the word before it gets too hot. Amen. If you will turn with me in the book of Colossians. We have two passages of scripture. Actually, we have a couple passages of scripture in the book of Colossians. Then we also have one passage of scripture in the book of Hebrews. So as that, you would turn to Colossians. Let's start in chapter 1, verse 15. Verse 15 through 19. Then we're going to jump to verse 27 in chapter 1. And we're going to finish in the book of Colossians with verses 8 and 9, just so you know. Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 19. Verse 27, Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And then if you would just turn with me briefly in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Amen. And that's where we'll be. Amen. Our focus text will be Colossians 2, verses 8 and 9. Amen. So the word of God reads in Colossians 1, 15. He says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before, somebody say all things. And by him, somebody say all things, consists. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should, somebody say, all fullness dwell. And then in chapter 1, that same chapter, verse 27, Paul writes, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ, somebody say, in you.
In you.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then just skipping ahead in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul writes, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Let's just jump ahead to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 reads as thus. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. His rest can also be interpreted as his fulfillment, his completion. And of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith them that heard it. Not being mixed with faith them that heard it. And our focus text again is here in the second chapter of Colossians, in the ninth and tenth verse, where he says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Amen, amen, amen. Let me hear just by sign or showing of either clapping your hands or the honking of your horn. How many know that you're complete in Jesus Christ? Amen. Young people, you got to know that you are complete in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we were to choose a topic for this text, it would be living in the knowledge of who we are and what we have. Living in the knowledge of who we are and what we have. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we come to you, O God, in the mighty and the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, recognizing and acknowledging you as God, most high, holy, O God, none like you, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, O God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, there is none like you. You are high, and O God, you are lifted up. All power is in you, O God. All knowledge is in you, creation, salvation, deliverance, O God, joy, peace, Heavenly Father, fulfillment, O God, it's all in you, O God, because you are all and in all, O God. And we thank you, O God, that you're God. We thank you, O God, that you're sovereign. We thank you, O God, that you're the one who's in control. We thank you, O God, that you have not left it up to us to try and live this life in our own strength, O God. But Heavenly Father, Lord God, you desire to live this life through us in its fullness, O God. So our prayer this morning, O God, is that you would help us. Help us to know what we have. Help us to know, O God, who you are living on the inside of us. Be glorified, be magnified, be lifted up, O God. Your life abound greatly in us, O God, to the manifestation, O God, of your glory for this world to see. Have your way, O God. Bless our young people, O God. Heavenly Father, that they might be fortified and grounded, O God, in who you have created them to be, that they would know without a shadow of a doubt, Heavenly Father, Lord God, who you are in their lives. Have your way, O God. Speak to our hearts deliberately and explicitly the very things that you will for our lives, O God. Heavenly Father, that we might receive an engrafted word. Heavenly Father, Lord God, that we might be further conformed to the likeness of your Son. Have your way right now. Crucify me right now. Don't let me speak of myself. Lord God, don't let me speak on how I feel or what I think or according to what I see, but according to the very wisdom and knowledge of your Spirit. Be glorified, be lifted up. The words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. We thank you and we praise you. Ask all these things in the mighty and matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Living in the knowledge of who we are and what we have. Amen. 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 And it's for as long as I've been preaching. Amen. And probably even before that, coming here, even before we came back to community. Amen. As long as I can remember, the theme for the youth has been knowing who you are in Christ. That's been the thing we talked about, knowing who you are with a focus on our identity as children of God. knowing who the person of Christ is in us and who he's created us to be, amen, and growing in the very likeness, being conformed to the very likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But for some reason, amen, as I was preparing this message, the Lord was bending my heart. He was bending my heart in an effort to try and break my heart, amen, to focus on the knowing part, not just the identity part, but the knowing part, the security part, basically in dealing with our faith in knowing our hearts being secured and assured and fortified in knowing, not just our young people, amen, but even our adults, amen, and our more mature folks. We've got to know who we are in Jesus Christ. We've got to know, because listen, y'all, and it's our faith, because without faith, there's no evidence. There's no evidence, and without no evidence, there's no testimony. Amen. The Bible teaches us that faith is twofold. Amen. What is it? It's substance and it's evidence. Amen. The substance of faith is God's word. And the evidence of faith, or the proof or the demonstration of our faith, is our obedience. Amen. So in order for us to be able to obey, we've got to know something in our hearts. Oh, amen. And that's why Paul said it profited them nothing. Because in the time of the testing in the wilderness, and he was dealing with the children of Israel, amen, after they had been delivered from Egypt, having seen all these things, having seen the Red Sea parted and separated, having seen God swallow up those who were chasing them in the Red Sea, having seen God perform all of these miracles, amen, they still did not believe unto obedience. They had a faith failure, amen? And we've got to know something. Unless we operate in the faith of God, we're not going to operate in obedience. So we've got to know something. See, and sometimes, amen, we get frustrated, amen, when we think about the children of Israel, right? I know I've said it many a times, and many of you have probably said it in your spirit, amen, if I had seen what they seen, I would have believed. I wouldn't have had the same problem that they had in the wilderness if I would have seen what they seen. Guess what? You would have had the same problem that they had in the wilderness, even if you would have seen what they see. Because faith is more than seeing. Faith is about knowing. We've got to know something in our heart. And if God has not broken our heart, if the word of God has not been engrafted in our heart, if Jesus Christ has not taken his rightful place and seat in the throne seat of our heart, it does not matter what you see, and it won't matter even what you hear, until our hearts are broken to the word of God, we will struggle in obedience. We've got to know something in our heart. The Bible said it's with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. We got to know something. And listen, that's the whole premise of this message. We've got to know what or who we have to truly live and operate in the fullness of God. We're talking about being complete in Christ. That's talking about the fullness of God, not just knowing that you're filled, but the filling of God spilling out in our homes and in our communities, amen, before our children and our families, that people will know that Christ lives. The fulfillment has nothing to do, oh, God is filling me, he blessing me, he gave me a good job, he gave me a roof over my head, I got two cars in the garage, and I'm just blessed. No, that's not the evidence of the filling. The evidence of the filling is Christ's life being manifested from our life. The filling is God's life being revealed to other people. We've got to know who we are in Christ. And we've got to know that we are complete in him. Listen, church, we've got to know. Not know. That's the problem. Too many of us are intellectually saved. We know what the word says. We understand what the word says. We can comprehend and tell and repeat what in our own wisdom what the word of God is saying. But our hearts are not broken to who God or who Christ is.
got to know. We've got to know. And see, that's the thing. There's no difference. We got to know this, church. There's absolutely not one tittle, not one thicket of difference between us and the world if we're not living by faith in the knowledge of what we have. For my Bible says it is impossible. Without faith, it is absolutely impossible to please God. We've got to know. We've got to know. We have got to know. Young people, adults, we have to know that we're complete in Christ. We've got to know we're complete in Christ. We're fulfilled because we have the life of Christ in us. And we have to know what that means. We got to know what it means. We have to know that it's by faith. That we've got to know it by faith so that there is substance and demonstration in our life. It does me no good to get up here and preach about being complete in Christ Jesus if my wife can't see that I'm complete. Does me no good to get up here and preach and do all this yelling and screaming in the mic about being complete in Christ if my family and people on my job and people in the community can't see the manifestation of the life, the full life of Jesus Christ from my life. We've got to operate in faith and obedience. We have to know. We've got to know that we're complete in Christ. And see, that's the thing, church. We're living in desperate times. Do you know that? Like never before. We ain't seen nothing like this before. Amen. The spirit of hopelessness and helplessness and desperateness and desperation, the spirit of despair, all this stuff that's going on with COVID-19 and institutional racism, people are losing their minds. People are walking up in supermarkets without masks. And just because somebody asked this woman, amen, to put on their mask, she used the bathroom on the floor. Not because she was scared, but in defiance, because people are losing their mind. People don't have a foundation to stand on because they don't have Jesus Christ. This world is a hot mess, and if we don't know who we are in Christ, we will lose our mind. We'll lose our mind, church. And that's the thing, you know what the world needs to see? Because they're losing their mind, because this COVID thing and this racism thing, you know what the world needs to see? The world needs to see some satisfied people. They need to see some validated people, some bold people, some people who ain't scared like everybody else because they know who they have on the inside. People who are not reacting to what's going on in the world the same way that everybody else is reacting. The world needs to see some people who are complete in Christ. They need to see some people who know that they're a chosen generation. They need to see some people who know that they're a royal priesthood. They need to see some people who know that they're a holy generation. They need to see the manifestation of the boldness and the power of Christ through us. Listen, we can't react to COVID like every. Listen, I'm not saying walk around and don't social distance and don't have a mask on and don't wash your hands 20 times a day. That's what I do. But what I'm saying is that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I want to ask you, is your mind sound? We've got to operate in faith. He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Jesus Christ. But the problem is our eyes are fixed on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, and everybody else when we should be in the Word of God, believing what God says about us over what the world is saying to us. The world wants to feed you propaganda and a lie so that we don't trust Jesus. Listen, I'm not saying be reckless. If you in Christ, you got wisdom because you got the mind of Christ. And he's going to lead you and he's going to guide you to know what to do and what not to do. What I'm saying is, do not let the spirit of fear overwhelm you. You've got to know. Listen, y'all, if we don't know something, then we don't know nothing. We've got to know what God is saying. And that's why he said they had the word, but it did not profit them, because their faith was not wrapped up in it. It was not wrapped up in time. Listen, when Pastor Wright used to say, I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled up. He was talking about his faith was wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in what God is saying to us. And I said it on Wednesday night. If we're not going to take this word and put it in our heart and walk according, we might as well stop coming to church. I'm serious. You might as well stop wasting your time being religious. Because he said without faith it's impossible to please him. And listen, he got something for religious people. He said, many are going to say unto me on that day, we came to church every Sunday. We prophesied in your name. We called out the name of Jesus. We preached in your name. We did all this stuff in your name. But he said, what? Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, because I don't know you. And listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want the Lord to say that about me. I don't want him to say that about me. Listen, do I struggle in my faith? Absolutely. Do I have times where I had battles and battles? Absolutely. As long as we're in that flesh, but we can't let it overtake us to the point where we're walking in disobedience to what God has said. The Holy Spirit got to kick in at some time and say, do you remember who you are? Do you remember what he says about you? Do you remember what he says about your situation? Do you understand the power that's living on the inside of you? At some point, the Holy Spirit's got to kick in and say something. But see, the problem is religion, and that's the problem. Religion will never get you there. Your membership will never, your membership will never get you there. Your position will never get you there. Your mama being this in the church, or daddy this in the church, did this, did that, pray for you, thank God for it, until you come into direct contact and have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, none of that matters. We got to know something. We've got to know something, church. We've got to know. Listen, in uncertain times, we got to know something. Easy to give God praise when everything is going well. But can we glorify him in our obedience when it don't look right and when it don't sound right and when it don't feel right? This is what God is preparing us for. This is why the Holy Spirit, the presence in the life of Christ, is living on the inside for times such as this. It's times such as this when the manifestation of what's on the inside of us has got to show forth and come through. We can't respond like everybody else. We can't do like everybody else. Again, just so some listen, I don't want nobody to get in trouble. They're like Minister Williams said, we should just be footloose and fancy free. Absolutely not. I'm saying operate in the will of God. The Bible says you will prosper in health as your soul prospereth. As the Lord liveth in us, as he's manifested, magnified in us, he's going to give us wisdom to know what to do and what not to do. Amen. So we listen, you can't go wrong by obeying Christ. This word has got to become our living way. It's got to become our living way. Jesus said, I'm the way. I am the truth. He didn't say, I am a way, because he wants us to know that there is no other way. He didn't say, I am a truth. He said, I am the truth, all wisdom. Amen. All righteousness resides in Christ Jesus. There is no other truth. So people on the news is lying to you. I'm not saying that COVID don't exist. Of course it does. I'm not saying that people aren't dying of it. Of course they are. What I'm saying is that in this life, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because he's already overcome COVID. He's already overcome what we go through. He's already overcome the things. things that people are reporting on the news, as long as we operate in the will of God, we've got victory. We've got to know. We've got to know. This word has got to become our living way. Our living way. We live that this word, Christ Jesus, his life is being lived out through us. That's the goal. That's his desire for us. And this is, listen, Paul was dealing with this stuff in the church. People not recognizing and realizing and preaching, in our preaching not reflecting that Christ is everything. This is what he was dealing with, not just in the Colossian church. They had the same spirit in the church of Ephesus. And all, listen, he was dealing with all this falsehood. Paul was guarding the church against error. Christ, listen, they were preaching that Christ wasn't enough. They were adding things to this gospel. Special knowledge, Greek philosophy, philosophies from the Orient, all these things. They were mixing in with the gospel. Because in their mind, Jesus Christ wasn't enough. That's what happens when we add stuff. We're saying that Christ isn't enough. And Paul was letting know, no, Christ is not just enough. He's more than enough. He's everything. There's nothing outside of Christ. Anything that resides outside of Christ is a lie. It's error. He's letting them know that Christ is everything. And if we're not careful, church, even in the church, we'll do the same thing. If we're not rooted and grounded, our hearts are not broken to what God says, we'll say, I know what the word says, but can I tell you, my spine shivers when I hear people say that. Not people in the world, people in the church. Because you hear it from people in the church. Yeah, I know the word says so and so, but what you're saying is you don't know. What you're really saying is you heard, or you might have a mind to understanding, but of course your heart does not know. Because if your heart knew what the word says, there would be no but. Because there is no but. After Christ, there's only an exclamation mark. Because Christ is the fulfillment. He is the finished work of all of existence and eternity. There is nothing but Christ. So the but is not after Christ, but the but is before Christ. But Christ, there is nothing else. But Christ. But Christ. And that's what will happen if we're not careful in the church. We'll add these things to Christ based on what we see, based on what we hear, based on how we feel, based on our experience in this world. We'll add stuff on the Christ. But guess what, church? He created this world. And he was God long before he created this world. And he's going to be God long after this world burns up. He don't need the world's opinion on top of, he don't need the world's opinion on what's going on. Nor does he need the world's approval or validation. And as his children, neither do we. That's why there is no but. That's why we don't, the only thing we need to believe is what Jesus Christ says. What the world says, believes, or does doesn't change the impact one bit, or the sovereignty or the authority of the sovereign will of God. It don't matter. The Bible says he works all things after the counsel of his will. Ain't going to happen. Ain't nothing else going to happen outside of what he's already declared before time in existence. And so regardless of what they report on the news, God's will is going to be done. It's the job of us as the children of God to line up with the will of God. Listen, he said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow or the protection of the Almighty. That secret place is not this tent. That secret place is not at Dormer, it's not on Radcliffe Street. That secret place is in the will of God, the word of God, his perfect protection wherever you go, because the word of God is in your heart. This is what God is trying to, this is where he's trying to get us to. See, this is where the church has lost its mind, because it's so busy trying to change and adjust to the world and how the world is trending. I heard somebody say, you gotta, when you're preparing to preach, you gotta, we on the internet. This world has nothing to do with what God says. This world does not impact what the word says. What the word says is meant to impact the world. So I don't preach in response to what's going on in the world. I just preach the word of God that existed prior to the world, already has the solution for what the world's problem is. The problem is the church is too busy being reactive instead of being proactive in what God has already done on the cross. He said, it is finished. Which means it's all finished. Everything in the future, it's finished. We gotta know. We are in some end times. And we better believe it. Y'all looked at us crazy 2 years ago when we told you Sunday's Best was a hot mess. Look at it now. And tell me if you still think we crazy. I ain't gonna talk about it because they might kick us off of Facebook. But go look it up. Look at what's going on Sunday's Best right now. And guess what? You won't think we crazy no more. We are truly in the end times. Compromise has never been at its highest. When you want to talk about degradation and sin against God being put forth, so-called singing the gospel and people co-signing to what's going on in this world today, the spirit of the Antichrist is alive and well, and we better know something in our hearts or we're going to fall victim to the delusion and the lie of the enemy. We've got to know something. This thing is not a joke. It's real. The enemy has come to deceive the hearts of men, and he's doing a pretty good job of it, because people's hearts are not broken to the word of God. Stop coming to church and just listening to sermons and get this word in your spirit, or the enemy will be sure to deceive you and me. It's time out. It's time out of coming to church looking for somebody to pump and lift you up and not taking the word of God on the inside and going and getting on your knees and allowing that word to soak so that we might look like Jesus. We gotta know something. If you just come to church for your mama or your daddy, I'm not talking to young people. You better come. I didn't want to come to church when I was young. I thank God that my parents drugged me to church. No, you keep on getting drugged to church till you get it. I'm talking to the older ones. Just because your mom and your daddy came to church and this is what to do, what we do on Sunday morning, stop coming to church for that reason. Stop coming to church to be religious. Listen, we are in the end times. I'm telling you right now, we better get this word in our hearts. We better get this word in our hearts. And I heard Pastor Wright say it the other day, it's more of a miracle for people who have been in church all their lives to get delivered than somebody who's never been in church a day in their life to get saved off the street. Because y'all, I'm telling you, we got a spirit in us that God has to deal with and deliver us from, because there's a false sense of security. Because we've been in church all of our life and we've got this veil of religion over us. And we think we're safe and we're just as bound as people out in the world. I know it. I've been there. We better know something. We got to know something, church. It's time out. We're complete. And listen, y'all, I'm just getting to my points, but I promise you, I know I say it all the time, but I mean it. These are quick points. But we better know something. We're complete. Well, the question is, are we living in the knowledge of what God says about us and about ourselves? There's four quick things we better know. First of all, We got to know faith. We got to know our faith. We have to know the purpose of our faith. The second thing is, we got to know who he is. The third thing is, we got to know where he is. And the fourth thing is, we got to know. The fourth thing is, if those three things are in place, then we will know what we have. Know our faith, know who he is, know where he is, and then we'll know what we have. Without those things, we won't know what we have. We'll continue to operate in religion. We'll continue to have faith failures. And listen, I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I fail in my faith a lot. I'm not standing here in a position of accusation. What I'm saying is, all of us, and I was telling Pastor Wright this morning, so different in my preparation this morning, God was dealing with my heart more than ever, pressing upon my heart, saying, Marlon, you better know this. You better know. You're going to preach this. And don't give me, he says it all the time. Because we got to practice what we preach. But no, more than ever, when I tell you that, he was piercing my heart. Marlon, you better know this. You got to know this. We've got to know this, church. We're complete because we know. Meaning by faith that we have accepted as our living truth. In other words, we've got to know something. Listen, God wants the word in our heart. I'm dealing with faith. This is the first point. We have to know this stuff in our hearts, right? What did he say? He says, it's with the heart man believes unto righteousness. It's a heart's belief. So in other words, we've got to know by faith everything that God says. We've got to know it in our hearts. And I tell people all the time, really quickly, we talk about the faith continuum, right? And this is the challenge in the church, because we think faith is believing. Faith is not believing. Believing is a part of faith, but believing is not faith. Believing is at the very forefront of faith, but it's not complete faith. We've got to have complete faith. Complete faith consists of us hearing the word, right? The Bible says faith come by and hearing the word of God. We've got to hear the word. Then we've got to believe the word or agree with the word, right? That's only half of the faith. After we hear the word and believe the word, then the word of God has got to replace us. Now that I've heard it and believed it, the Bible says receive with meekness the engrafted word, a word that gets on the inside and takes its place in us, replaces the lie that we've been told all of our lives, replaces us. We got to hear it, believe it, let it replace us, and then we'll obey it. James said, faith without what? Is dead. Works is obedience. He wasn't talking about, oh, faith without me cooking the chicken for the kitchen committee is dead. Or faith without me collecting the offering is, no. Faith without obedience is dead faith. In other words, faith without obedience is no faith at all. That's why it's more than just hearing and believing. The word has got to replace us, because Jesus Christ is the word. So when the word replaces us, the life of Christ is being regenerated in us and produced in us, so that we're not responding and we're not obeying out of our own strength and power, but it's the life of Christ through the manifested word of Christ that has replaced us, that's actually doing and performing the will of God. So we've got to know something on the inside. But this is the problem. Many struggle to reconcile this very text, this principle that we're complete. You know why? Because we don't feel complete. So people struggle. We read it and we'll have an intellectual understanding of it, but because our hearts are not broken to it, we struggle with it, because how I feel does not line up with what the word of God says. And we've got to know that this thing has absolutely nothing to do with how we feel. And that's why we'll walk in disobedience, Because we're study operating in how we feel about something. See, the Bible says there's nothing in this world but the lust of the eyes, what I see. The lust of the flesh, because I see it, now I want it. And the pride of life, and now that I get it, how I get it makes me feel. And that's why so many people are not walking in completeness, because of that very thing. Our hearts are not broken to the word of God. So what we do is we chase fulfillment in other things. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and I get what I want. And because there's nothing in this life that's made to fulfill me other than Jesus Christ, when I get what I want, I'm still left empty. And if I keep filling myself with things that leave me empty, how complete am I going to feel? There is no fulfillment in chasing after things in the world. We've got to walk, and I heard Minister Tolbert say in his prayer, we got to walk by the Spirit. But our problem is you notice I'm saying our. My problem, your problem, it's the same thing. Trying to reconcile, and it was profound. I heard Minister Tolbert say this in a Bible study one time. He said the greatest challenge in his life and in my life is trying to reconcile what I read in this word and what I see when I look in the mirror. What I feel and what goes through my mind at times. My experience in this world and what God says is the biggest challenge in the life of the believer if we're not willing to die to how we feel. This is what we're dealing with in Bible study. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to do four things: to pull down the strongholds, cast down the imaginations, cast down everything that exalts itself, every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing in every single thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. If we're not doing that, we're going to continue to struggle. My struggle, your struggle, our struggle, until we apply this word in our heart, we will continue. Listen, we ought to get a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better, till next thing you know, you don't look back, and next thing you know, you have come so far because of what Christ is doing in your life. But we've got to be willing to die to self. We got to be willing, y'all. We've got to know something. And if we're going to walk in the fullness of God, we've got to get these things in our spirit. Out, not just in our mind. We got to get it in our spirit. The second thing we got to know who He is. We got to know who the one is that's filling us. How are we going to talk about we fill and we don't know the one that's filling us? How are we going to talk about we complete in Christ and then we ain't in the word of God? You can't. We got to know the one who's filling us. Look at what he says in this first chapter of Colossians in verse 16. He says, verse 15 and 16. And 17, just through 19, he says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. In other words, he's the firstborn in rank. And he speaks of his position as head, right? And his authority. But he is also creation. Look at it. He says in verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, and all things were created for him. So in other words, y'all, he is creation, right? And he created all things, everything in heaven, everything on earth, everything in between. He created. created all things. They were created by him, and they were created for him. So if he created all things, what else is there? There is nothing else. All that was created by him, right? But look at what he says. Because we often talk about Christ as possessing authority, as if authority is something that he just has. But look at what he says. He just doesn't have authority. He is authority, because look, he says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, right? And that are in earth. He created all things that are visible and invisible. Listen, whether they be thrones that represent authority, or whether they be dominion or principalities that represent authority, or whether they be powers, he said all things were created by him and for him. So listen, this is the God who's filling us. God, we always say, oh God, you got all power. You have all authority. No, he just don't have authority. He created authority, which means authority is of him, which means everything is subject to God. Corona is subject to God. Racism is subject to God. Sickness is subject to God. The devil is subject to God. Your trials are subject to God. Your tribulations are subject to God. There is nothing that will ever go through that is not subject to God. Why are you scared? We've got to come into the revelation of what we have. We got to know it. But look, he also speaks. He also says that he's the genesis, or the mold, or the substance, or the content of all things. Look at what he says in verse 17. He says, and he is before some things. Just make sure y'all still with me. I know it's hot. He is before all things, and by him all things do what, y'all? Means that everything is made up of him. Made up of him. He is the source. All things consist or come from Christ. This means that all things are not just from Christ, but are of Christ. He is the substance of all things. And I know, I love cake. I love to eat cake. I love to eat cake batter. I love everything about cake.
Amen.
Right, Brenda?
Amen.
Amen. And this is what he's saying. This is what he's saying. Because cake consists of several different ingredients. You need your milk. Right, Mercy? You need your eggs. You need your flour. You need your butter. Thank God for the sugar. Right? You need all these things. All these things make up the ingredients. These are the substance of the cake. You need these things to make up the cake. But what Christ is telling us, he is the substance, or the ingredients, or the lone ingredient, or substance of all things. John 1 says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So look at how great he is. Because not only does the word say that he created all things, but the word says that he's the substance of all things. So not only did he bake the cake, but he is the substance, or the ingredients, by which the cake and everything else is made. In other words, when he created everything, he didn't go around taking something from here or taking something from there, or grabbing this off the shelf and grabbing all this off the shelf, grabbing a little bit of flesh, grabbing a little bit of blood, grabbing some teeth and some eyes and all this stuff to make us. No, he took from himself. And that's why he says we're made in the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. He is the maker, and he is the substance. This is who's filling us. Do you know?
know who's filling you. This is who is filling us. He's everything, y'all. And this is why he was qualified to redeem us. You look at verse 20, he says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to do what? To reconcile all things unto himself. How? By himself. He used himself by putting himself on the cross to reconcile all things to himself. He reconciled all things to himself by himself. He didn't need nothing else to save us. He didn't have to go search for anything else. Just like he didn't have to go search for anything else to make us. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to look no further than himself to redeem us. That's why he's all sufficient. And that's why we're all sufficient. Because this same Christ is living on the inside of us. Later on in chapter 3 in this book of Colossians, he says Christ is all and in all. Which leads me to the third point. We got to know where he is. Look at verse 27. In this first chapter, he says, to whom God would make known, Colossians 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what, y'all?
Christ.
Not just Christ, but Christ where?
In you.
Christ in you. The hope of glory. So let me ask you a question. Where is Christ?
In you.
Make it personal. Where is Christ?
In me.
He's in us. He's in me. He's in you. Christ is in you. Listen, Christ is living in you. To know that he is not, listen, we got to know that Christ ain't outside of us. Listen, Christ is not outside of us filling us.
All right.
Like somebody with a glass of water filling a cup. Christ is in us. And he's already filled us. And guess what? Whether you believe it or feel it or not, he's already made you and me complete. We just got to know it by faith. We've got to know that Christ is in us, filling us. He's working from the inside out. See, that's the problem. We think Christ is over yonder somewhere. So when we pray to him, you know, and when we worship him, we be looking up in the sky somewhere. No, he's in you. He's in me. He's in us. He's not someone, and that's the thing. Christ is not somebody we got to go run to. You know that? Because if we got to run to Christ, that means he's away from us. No, Christ is someone we commune with. Because he's not around us. He's in us. And I ain't got to look no further than in me to find Christ. What did the Bible say? See, we got to know what we have. We got to know what we have. What did Paul tell us in Romans chapter 10? Verse 6, he said, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart what you know in your heart by faith. Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? He said, but what saith it? In other words, but what saith yours and my faith? The word is nigh thee, even in my mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. But our faith has got to grab hold of the word, or it won't profit us nothing. We'll still be running around looking for Jesus in signs in the wind, looking for him in the trees, looking for him in the grass, looking for him here and there. When he was with us the whole time, he's going to be manifested and revealed through our faith. Where's our faith? We got to operate by faith. He's right there, church. He's right there in us, living in us, reproving us, rebuking us, justifying us, encouraging us, lifting us up in times of hardship, trials and tribulation. He's right there. He never left us. He's with us right now. We got to know it. We got to believe it. And if by faith you know who he is and you know where he is, then you will know. You will know what you have. You won't have no choice but to know what you have. We'll know what we have. You have to know who we have and what we have by faith. Look at what he says. Verse 9 and 10 in chapter 2. He says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." We'll know what we have. Listen, listen, listen. All that we just talked about from Colossians 1, verse 15 through 19, right? Talked about how great God is, his great authority, his deity, that he created everything. He created authority. All things were created by him and for him. And all things consist. Thrones, dominions, powers, all these things, right? And he is the preeminent power, right? And then later on, it said that it pleased the Father that in Christ all fullness dwell, right? And look, and then he goes on to say that this great Jesus Christ, right, is living in us when he talks about the great mystery of Christ Jesus, right? Christ where? In us. The hope of glory. So he's great and he's mighty and he's in us and he's living in us, right? And so he goes on in this verse 9 in chapter 2 and says, "For in him," that's Jesus Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In other words, all of God, all of God's deity, all of God's authority, all of God's power, all of God's life-giving power, all of God's saving power, all of God's redeeming power, all of God's delivering power, all of God's power and authority was in Jesus Christ. All of God and all of Christ and all of us, what does that say about you and me? What does that say about you? I don't care what you feel like. What does God say about you and me? This is why we have to die to self. Because Paul says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's the enemy of God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither can the carnal mind hates the things of God. It does not respect the authority of God's word. Therefore, your carnal mind will reject what God says about you. That's why it's got to be brought under submission and subjection so that we can get, listen, he said the Spirit of God testifies to our spirit that we are the sons of God. We've got to believe what God says about us. But it's hard when you got CNN playing in your ear and you got Fox News playing in your ear and you got MSNBC. Listen, we'll get to your news station in a second. You got MSNBC playing in your ear. You got the world news playing in your ear. 6, 3, and 10 playing in your ear. Why don't we get what God says playing in our heart? Let's get what he says in our heart. Let's believe what God says. Because until we do, until we believe what God says in our heart, you can have the word all you want. But until it is met and wrapped with faith, it will profit us nothing. We still gonna be scared. We still gonna be defeated. We still gonna be fearful. We still gonna be looking behind our back. We still gonna be worried about what somebody said about us. We still gonna be worried about how they looked at us. We still gonna be worried about what they did to us. We still gonna be worried about what's happening on the job, what's happening in the economy, what's happening in the stock market, what's going on here and there. We still gonna be worried about everything because the word of God has not been engrafted. This word gotta get in, listen y'all, this word gotta get in my heart. This word has got to get in my spirit. This word has got to saturate my heart and mind. If it does not, I tell my family all the time, if you're not in the word and the word not in you, everything's going to be okay. You'll believe anything and everything. When we're not in the word, everything's okay. That's why some of y'all think Black Lives Matter is okay. That's exactly why. That's why some of y'all think, because the enemy knows how, he knows how to layer some stuff with a good surface. That's why some of y'all think Sunday best is okay. Check it out. You're going to see something. You're going to see abomination. That's why some of y'all think some stuff is okay. That's not okay. We've got to get the word of God in our heart and in our spirit, church. Young people, you got to know who you are. Don't believe what the world is saying about you. Don't believe it. But I'm telling you, if you don't cut back on your social media time, just hours and hours on, I'm telling you, you got to watch what you put in your spirit. The enemy has a message behind all this stuff. And I know you think it's harmless. And I know that y'all think we just being old fashioned. But I'm telling you right now, you have to guard your heart. You have to guard, not just young people. Some of us older ones is on social media just as much. You have to guard your heart. We have to guard our minds. The enemy is playing a message behind the message. And we don't understand the fact that it's being played in our spirit. And we're being deceived by the enemy. We've got to get this word on the inside. Young people, get this word. Christ in you makes you sufficient for every single thing. He makes you sufficient for every single thing you come against in life. You ain't got to worry about it if you have Jesus Christ in your heart. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He's standing there waiting, dog. He's standing there telling us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. That's that same rest that he talks about in Matthew 11 is the same rest that he's warning us that we might miss out on Hebrews. And it's the same rest that Paul's talking about. Paul just calls it fulfillment. He said, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In other words, exchange what you see, hear, and feel for what I say. For my yoke, for I'm meek and lowly at heart. And you shall find rest for your weary souls. Because my yoke, my will, my word, my way, my truth, my yoke is easy, and my burdens are light. But we gotta know something. Are you living in the knowledge of what you have on the inside of you? Amen. There might be one here today. Listen, This salvation thing is not an ocean. It's not an ocean. It's about Jesus Christ. Do you know this salvation thing ain't even about you? It's about Him. It was always about Him. Thank God that we are the object of His eye. But it's always been about Him. It was about Him substituting, playing substitute for us on the cross. It is about Him being our substitute here in this life, that somebody else might see Him. And I want to tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you better come get to know Him. You better come get to know this love. You better come get to know this grace. You better come get you some of this peace. Come get you some of this joy in your heart. You better come get some of this. Because He loves us. And He wants to deliver us from this world. You know that. And that's been my prayer. Lord, deliver me from this world. This world is a mess. Deliver me from the drama and the trauma and the stress and the distress of this world. You know what? Listen, you know how they say the older you get, the more you get like your father? I'm trying to tell you, and I never understood what my father said when he said, the longer I live, the more I long to live as Christ and to die as gain. If it wasn't for my children and my wife and my family, I'd be ready to go right now. I'm telling you, because this is why I'm so fed up. Seriously, I'm so fed up, but I thank God for Jesus, because He gives us peace now. He gives us joy. If you don't know Him that way, won't you try Him? We used to say, come everyone, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is everything that He advertises in this book. I'm trying to tell you, you just got to try Him. Try Him at His word. And He won't disappoint you. He won't fail you. There is no failure in Jesus Christ. We extend a second call to one who might just be walking out of the will, who might be walking in broken fellowship with God. I thank Jesus. I thank Him. I thank Him that He's always calling us back to Himself. You can't never get so far where He can't get you. We just need to turn our attention back to Him. It's that easy. Stop beating yourself up about what you did. And just come on. Just come on. Just come on and get back in line. He's waiting. He's waiting. If there's anybody who desires prayer, amen. If there's anybody desires prayer, you can line up right there on that black tie. As a matter of fact, you can stand outside of your cars. You can stand right where you are. This is the altar of Jesus Christ. Wherever He is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He's right here with us. Listen, if He's in you and He's in your heart, you got an altar right there. And I'm going to ask Pastor Wright, if he would not mind, come. And pray this altar prayer as they sing. As the choir sing. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone.
Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for the word that is mightily. Amen. We just want to extend this invitation. I'm serious. If there's anybody that does not know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins, and you would like to give your life, amen, you can come stand right on the blacktop. Amen. Is there one? Is there one? Is there anybody? Amen. Maybe you're in a backslidden condition and maybe you need to get right. Maybe your fellowship is not right. And you also want to come. You can come and stand right over there. Amen. He preached about living in the knowledge. Living in the knowledge of what we have, that we're complete in Jesus Christ. Amen. And guess what? He said it over and over again. He's not talking about a book knowledge or an educational knowledge. But that knowledge comes from knowing. The word knowing, you got to know. When the bottom of the bottom drops out of your life and everything's going on, do you know him? Are you rooted? Are you grounded? Are you anchored in the completion of the love of Jesus Christ? Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, we thank you. We bless you. We praise your holy and your righteous name just for who you are, to know that you are holy, you are high, you are lifted up, you are a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God of love, and your compassions fail not. We thank you. You are a forgiving God, regardless of how many times we messed up. God, you are waiting there for us. Your love, oh God, covers a multitude of sins. So we pray right now, even as the word has already gone forth, that you would sink it deep down in our hearts. God, even where the enemy wants to rob us of what was preached on today, God, we pray supernaturally, oh God, by the aid of your Holy Spirit, that you will sink that word in all of our lives. That even when the enemy tries to come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Most High God would raise up a standard, oh God, that we know beyond the shadow of a doubt, that we know beyond what's going on in this world, what somebody tells us, what other, regardless of what other people believe, to know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And that we are complete in you, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When we have you, we have everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything, oh God. We have everything. We can go for broke, but as long as we got you on the inside, oh God, we thank you, oh God. Who can love us like that? Who can die for us, oh God? You loved us with the perfect love, even from the foundation of this world. So we pray right now your covering over our children, in their hearts, our young girls, our young boys, our babies, our teenagers, our college students. We pray that they know right well what they have in you, that they're anchored in you, regardless of the spirit of peer pressure, regardless of the spirit of everybody else is doing it, even us as grown folk. Help us to know, overwhelm us, and consume us by this love. You said, by this will all men know that we are your disciples. That we, when we have love one for another, so as your love permeates our hearts, that it will overwhelm us, consume us, oh God, even unto those around us, that they will see the love of Jesus Christ. Father, if there's any sin in any of our hearts, or any spirit of unforgiveness, or any spirit of not being validated, we pray your forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus, that you will cover us. Move by your power. Move by your spirit. Even the spirit of the Antichrist. Even the spirit, oh God, of racial injustice, systemic racism, and all these things where our minds are being bombarded with so much through the propaganda and the news. You said you will keep our minds in perfect peace with our minds stayed on you. Break every stronghold. Spirits of homosexuality, spirits of doubt, worry, doom, or gloom, spirits of lust, spirits of sensuality, spirits, oh God, of adultery, fornication, whatever it is, even this internet, oh God, Father, we bind and rebuke them spirits right now in the name of Jesus. God, that you will continue to have your way. We pray your covering over Minister Williams right now, that you restore him, refresh him, oh God, right now, even in the spirit. And may that word that was preached continue to reverberate in our hearts. God, we love you. Every bereaved family, even those that have just lost a loved one, God, we lift them up right now in the name of Jesus. This is your holy ground. This is your sacred ground. God, it's not enough to praise you on the outside. It's not enough to even praise you on the inner court. But help us, oh God, in that most holy place to know you live in us and to love you, oh God, to grow in that love. God, we love you. We bless you. And all those seniors, oh God, that just graduated high school, Capri and Tim, oh God, we pray your covering over them, that they will trust in the Lord with all their heart, lean not into their own understanding, and all their ways acknowledge you, that you may direct their path. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. 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 More than anything. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Amen. Have a blessed day in the Lord.